World's on fire. Our culture's disintegrating.
Hey, pass the salt.
It's time. Hey, you, pass the salt.
You know what, why it's disintegrating? Because we're jellyfish.
Pass the salt, will you?
Pass the salt.
Pass the salt, amigo.
It's time.
I think they could give us a new name. I believe we are Evan Jellyfish.
Hey, will you pass the salt?
Pass the salt.
We need salt over here.
It's time for Pass the Salt.
Pass the salt.
But we like to share the gospel without any backbone to it, see?
The views, opinions, and seemingly outrageous comments expressed on this program are based on the Holy Spirit leading of a man called Coach.
I gotta ask you this out there, Christian America.
It's time for Pass the Salt with a Coach, Dave Dobenmeyer.
Hey, good, what is it, Christmas Eve? Good Christmas morning, Christmas Eve morning, whatever you call this thing. I was sharing with the folks, for those of you maybe who are watching it on Patriot Party News, Rumble, a lot of places where the show's being watched. I try to say this over again. If you would like to dialogue with us, we'd love to have you dialogue with us. Wherever you're watching, on whatever platform you're watching this right now, the only way that you can dialogue, have a conversation, get in here and give us your opinion, we'd love for you to join us, is Spencer, let them see it again. You have to go to CoachDaveLive.com. Go to the website. Now, wherever you're watching it, if you want to just watch it and listen, that's all good. But if you want to become part, you really want to join us, right at the top at CoachDaveLive.com, it says, join the queue. See that? So you just click on and boom, it pops up there and then you're part of the queue over here. Then you can raise your hand, you can ask questions, you can make comments, you can tell me how full of crap I am, you can do whatever you want to. And so depending on what, you'll never be able to do that if you're on one of the other platforms. If you're on Facebook or run down the whole list, you got to go to CoachDaveLive.com in order to join the huddle. And one of the things that you're really missing out on is sometimes, I'm not making this up, sometimes this, what we call the after show, which like right now there are 62 people lined up, I see on my computer, 62 people lined up who are participants. It's like a big Zoom call, okay? When the show goes off, these 62 people, man, they go at it. What about this? And what about the great discussions that take place? If you'd like to, I'm going to tell you something. That's where some of the greatest growth in our crew happens, in the after show. Because in the after show, we discuss these things that you never get to talk about in church. When was the last time you went to the church? I could tell you a story. Not appropriate to tell it right now. Did you ever, in the middle of a sermon, I was a teacher. Spent my career as a teacher, football coach. Did you ever go to church, in the middle of the sermon, Lord, just let the words of our lips and the meditation of our heart be pleasing in your sight, in Jesus' name. Did you ever want to say, hey, hang on, Pastor, I got a question about that. Were you ever able to do that? Or did you have to sit there the whole time and wait till he finished his sermon? Then when he finished his sermon and he dismissed, maybe you could go up with him and have a couple minutes. Maybe you could. But you never had the opportunity to say, well, can I tell you what I think about that, Pastor? And what about this? What about that? That's what's so good about what we call the queue. You can ask questions, right? You say, hey, Coach, I think you're full of crap. Where are you coming from on that one? And we all know this, don't we? You learn by asking questions. You learn by asking questions. I'm going to tell you what you're going to find out. I love the body of Christ. Sometimes I'm an irritant. Sometimes I feel like I'm a pebble in the shoe. No, not a pebble, an acorn in the shoe. Sometimes I know I'm irritating people. But I think sometimes I'm just asking questions that other people have and never had the opportunity to ask it. And I think sometimes I've been taught a lot of stuff that really isn't true. Can I give you for instance? Oh, am I going to make him mad now? Maybe I shouldn't do it. Should I do it, Ray? Should I do it, Jeff? Should I do it? Huh? Can somebody show me anywhere in the Bible where I'm to pray to Mary? Anywhere. I mean, just even maybe one scripture. Anywhere.
No, I was sure. I was told it was implied.
It was implied. Okay.
I was witnessing to this gal in church. She was praying to Mary. I couldn't believe it.
Can anybody tell me? I'm just asking again where it says, folks. I'm not being critical. I'm 72 years old. I've been at this thing a while. I was in church my whole life until January 28th, 1979. That's right here in the back of my Bible. And I didn't know a damn thing. I'm sorry. 1987. So I was 30. Gee, are you kidding me? Is that old? I was 35 years old and had no understanding of the Bible. Been in church my whole life. I didn't even know anybody. Catholics, you don't have to raise your hand. You don't have to raise your hand. I'm not being critical of Catholicism. Relax. When I walked into the Catholic Church, I knew it's time to sit down and shut up and don't say a word. Now, when the mass starts, then there'll be certain things that you're allowed to say, but they're only things you're allowed to say that they've put on a piece of paper, and the priest will say this, and then you repeat. That's all you're allowed to say. Otherwise, stay there, shut up, don't look around. Can anybody raise their hand and say, yep, coach, that was me. That was me. And I found myself at 35 years old as probably trying to be a moral guy, but I was far from saved. Far from saved, man. I didn't have any. I knew nothing about the Bible. I knew nothing about the Bible. It'd be like playing football not knowing the rule book. How does that work? I'm not condemning Catholicism, okay? I'm not. I was taught to pray to Mary. I was taught to pray the rosary. Now, hang on a second. Where's that in the scripture?
Hey, coach.
Yeah.
I can tell you a scripture that's not exactly that, but the most similar one. I know I read the Bible more than 40 times. There's something in the Pauline epistle that says about not condemning people who are worshiping and praying to angels, you know, looking into things they don't understand. He does give a license to do that. He doesn't command to do it, but he does give a license for a man to worship an angel. So that's the closest thing to it they got in there as far as I know.
Okay, so let me help you out here. They didn't teach me in catechism that. They didn't teach me that. They taught me to pray. Come on now. I wish I was raised something else so I could. Do you want me to get into the Baptists too? Do you want me to get into the Lutherans? Why do you think we have all these different denominations? Because we don't agree on what Christianity is all about. Okay? Can you give me the credit for that? And you know what happens? As soon as I start stepping on your toes, you leave. I'm out of here. Heaven forbid I would ever say anything about the Jews. Heaven forbid! I'm just curious, do the Jews celebrate Christmas? They don't? They make a lot of money off of it, don't they? Oh, I shouldn't have said that. I'm bigoted. So what I pride myself on here is, see, I shouldn't even say that. You shouldn't pride yourself on anything. I pride myself here on digging up bones. Digging up bones. Hey, pull that up. Don't do that. That's Randy Travis digging up bones. I like to dig up bones. Spence, you don't have to. You mean to tell me I believe that all the time and there ain't any biblical proof for it? Are you kidding me? Huh? And you mean that I go to church and my pastor is the expert. Hang on. I know you're getting nervous. You mean I'm going to go to my pastor and my pastor is going to say to me, you better get ready because Jesus is coming. You look at what's going on in Israel and Jesus is coming and the rapture is going to be here. You better, yeah, I'm telling you. And then I go to the church next door and they don't even believe in the rapture. How does that work? Can somebody explain to me, how does that work? It's because there are things in the scripture that we really don't know. We really don't know. But yet we take it as absolute truth when we really don't know. Can I hit you in the mouth? You ready to be hit in the mouth? All you, I'm going to get in trouble. Do I have to do it? Come on. Somebody egg me on or I ain't going to do it. Nobody going?
Do it.
Okay, thanks. I only needed one. I think Saturday is probably the Sabbath. I think it probably is. I believe so. My whole life I've celebrated it on Sunday, my whole life. I don't know if God's mad at me because of that or not. I don't know if I'm going to go stand before him. He said, Coach, you did everything so good, but you got that. You got the wrong day. Oh, Coach, you were doing so good. And then you started celebrating Christmas. You were doing so good. I don't know. And we have to stay away. Legalism. We need rules and regulations. Thank God the football field has boundary lines. Thank God you can't just run up in the stands and run around the stands and then jump in the end zone and call it a touchdown. Why can't you do that? Because it has sidelines. It has borders. It has boundaries. And I understand Christianity has borders and boundaries. I understand that. I do. But can I be honest why we have such a mess in the American church? We don't all agree on what those boundaries are. The sidelines are constantly moving. Used to be 10 yards for a first down. Now it's 12. Or now it's 8. Anybody with me this morning? It causes this great, great frustration. And it was Jesus who said, He said, Lord, what's the greatest commandment? Dig that out for me. Spencer, I'm paying you good money. Wake up there. Look up what Jesus said was the greatest commandment. They came to Jesus and said, what's the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, well, we're going to find out right here. Man, there it is. Master, what's the greatest commandment in law? It's a pretty good teachable moment. Pretty good one. Jesus said, well, dude, love the Lord your God, all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and the greatest commandment. So the first and greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul. Time out a minute. Hey, Gino, how do you do that? Hey, Ray LeBlanc, how do you do that? How do you love the Lord with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind? Been able to do that yet, Ray? Anybody out there been able to do that yet? I haven't been. I want to. And then he said, this is the first and greatest commandment. He said, you know, there's second ones like that. Love your neighbors yourself. Yeah, love your neighbors yourself. Scroll down a little bit, Spencer. One more verse. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. I know people. Oh, how did I get in this on the day before Christmas? Oh, wait a minute, I don't celebrate Christmas. How did I get in here? Do you know, guys, folks, do you know this? Do you know that we separate over those things? Whether we would be really, really honest or not. Scroll down again, Spencer. We separate on, Jesus said there's only two of them. Only two of them. Love your neighbor as yourself. Love the Lord your God with all your heart. Now, I understand this. Are you looking at me? That little brunette up there, that 5'1" brunette, I'm telling you, I can't even tell you how much I love. I can't even tell you. However, I don't always do everything she asks. Anybody say amen? Me too. Guilty coach. Guilty coach. Huh? So if I can't, if I love my wife and I really, really love her 42 years, I think. But I really love her. I don't always do what she asks me to. And she came home yesterday. I'm sitting there doing whatever. She's been gone almost all day. She walks in the bedroom and she says, you didn't fold the laundry. Like I'm a mind reader. Right? I love her so much. If I'd have known that it meant that much to her, I would have folded the laundry. I said, here, honey, I'll help you. Because she does everything. I mean, she like never stops, right? I love her with my whole heart. And I couldn't fold the laundry. See, that would be what she would say to me, wouldn't it? Honey, you tell me all the time you love me. She calls it her love language. Sometimes, hey, Ray, sometimes I've gotten smarter. I do come home sometimes and do the dishes. I know that matters to her. She comes in, the sink's clean. I love her. It makes her happy. I'd do anything I can to please her, but I don't. Why is that? Why is that? And all of you out there who've married a woman, know this. Women forgive, but they never forget. Never forget. Oh, she says, oh, yeah, you did that last time. I thought, honey, I thought it was under the blood. I'm trying to make a relationship for you to understand that our relationship with Christ is not based on legalism. It's certainly part of it, and I'm not making fun of that. It's certainly, of course, you really love your neighbors yourself? Now it says, love a neighbor as yourself. See, you can keep all the Sabbaths and all the rules and all the commandments and hate your neighbor. Something not right here. I don't know. I don't have this whole thing figured out. I do know this. It's a heart issue. It's always an issue of the heart. It's always an issue of the heart. I don't know how I got on this. But I think it's really, really important because I'm going to tell you this right now. We divide over non-heart issues, I think. You look at Christianity, what do we argue over? Paul called it the foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Don't get in arguments over, you say, well, coach, they're really, really important. Hang on a minute. My wife and I really love Jesus. We really love Jesus. We really love our family. We really love our family. You sitting down? Here comes the confession of the day. We have a Christmas tree. Why? Because the 10 grandkids come into our house understand that that tree represents the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We're not teaching them about Santa Claus. I think more people come to Christ during the Christmas season probably than any other time of the year. Look, can I tell you the truth right now? I feel the tension coming through. Folks, you'll never keep enough rules. You'll never keep enough rules. And praise the name of the Lord. If I don't, it's under the blood. Hang on. You say, well, coach, now you're getting into premeditated sin. Premeditated sin. What are you talking about? Premeditated sin. Yeah. Premeditated sin would be, I know that it's wrong to do X, Y, Z, but I'm going to do it anyway. It's premeditated sin. You can justify premeditated sin, why you do it. And here's what I say. I don't know how I got on this, 20 minutes. I'll get you in here in a second. Here's what I say. When I'm doing something that offends the Lord, He'll let me know. I don't need you to tell me. Same spirit to raise Christ from the dead lives inside of me. He will tell me. Shouldn't do that. Then I have the choice whether I will or not. Hey, shouldn't do that. I warned you, you shouldn't do that. You with me? So, I think that we have to, I don't even know how I got on this, because this really wasn't what I was talking about. You can't follow your rules into heaven. You can't follow the rules into heaven. All have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. All have sinned. Hey, Jesus, should I, I got in an argument with my son yesterday, and we had some harsh words. Is he not going to go to heaven? Because he was arguing with his, he wasn't honoring his father and mother. Is he going to go to, hell now? Is he saved? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah, he's saved. He's saved. But he really disrespected me. He didn't honor me. What do you say? How do you answer that? Honor thy father and mother. See, the Bible says the good thing about this whole Christianity thing is if we screw up, we have an advocate. We got an advocate with a father. It's like you explain it to somebody why your kid screwed up. Said, oh, listen, you know, he does that with his cousins. And they, I'm sorry he did that. We don't really talk like that in our home, but he done it with his cousin. I'm an advocate. And when I stand before the Lord, I got me an advocate. He's going to say, oh, look, I paid for that. It's under the blood. Look, folks, I'm not making trite what's important. But I believe this in the depth of my being. Legalism is not of the Lord.
Boom.
If you are following the law out of duty, you missed it. You should follow the law because you love the Lord and you want to please him. This is a complicated, convoluted thing, isn't it? Because I understand Sabbath keepers. I understand. I get why they do it. I do. And God bless them. I don't think I'm any less Christian because I don't. I don't think so. I could run down that list of 10 things. Woo-wee. Thou shalt not covet. Raise your hand if you coveted in the last week. Come on. Huh? Raise your hand if you told a lie in the last week. Come on. Huh? Come on. That's why we have an advocate. Should we follow the feasts? Well, I'd say, you say yes, I say no. He says yes, she says no. I don't know. I'm going to follow what the Holy Spirit tells me to do. And I hope you do the same. And I'm not going to sit here and say, you know, I really like that Steve Deck, but man, he goes to church on Sunday. Yeah. It's always an issue of the heart. It's always an issue of the heart. I'm going to tell you this. If the Lord tells you to not work on the Sabbath, then you better not work on the Sabbath. But I'm certainly not going to do it because some pastor told me that I should. I don't know about you guys. I've got this relationship with the Lord. I hear his voice. And if he says, Coach, wrong day. Thank you, Lord. Hey, Coach, no tree. Thank you, Lord. But Father, what about if I have that tree and my grandchild bows at the tree and receives Christ? It's deep, isn't it? Yeah. See, right now, come on, be honest. Some of you right now trying to figure out where I am with it, right? Where is he with this? Well. Christianity is something, isn't it? Dale's been waiting a long time. Come on, Dale.
Brother, man, I feel like a pile coming off of me right here. First off, December 5th, 1989 at 9:05 at night, I received Christ, and it was today, 35 years ago, that I was baptized in California. I'm the epiphany of of the glory of God coming on a person and saving them during Christmas season.
During Christmas season.
There's the first thing, Coach. There's so many points. Second thing you were talking about is the pastor. Coach, this, I love the fellowship, of course. I love you and Michelle and your family. This show changed the way I preach. Everybody in my congregation knows that. You know that. It's like a Sunday morning Bible study. People are allowed to raise your hands. You said that years ago. It changed me to this day. People, man, they got the scripture and they go, Pastor, you know, I was reading this, and so it's body ministering to body. So Amen. Important. Sometimes I get ministered. Third thing is that Paul never said that, and I did put it in the quote. It's in Colossians 2:18. You will see where Paul says, look, there's those who pray unto angels. Don't let that disqualify you, because he was talking about the Pharisaical people and all the religious garb, which was bringing me to the third thing. Man, it's like the who, what, where, when, and why. When Jesus was asked of that question, he was asked by the Pharisees and the Sadducees, Master, what law? What's the greatest law? He knew that they knew the law. They kept the law like no other people, Coach. They knew it word for word. They knew exactly where it was at. And he looked at them. He quoted from Deuteronomy, and he said, you shall love the Lord God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And then he quoted, and he said, and you shall also love your neighbor first. Little parentheses here. Most people don't even know who the heck their neighbor is. You shall love your neighbor, right, as yourself. Now, Spence, if you please would put in Leviticus chapter 19, verse 15 through 18. Let's just read this real quick, Coach, because when he said you shall love the Lord God, he said this. He knew what he was saying, and they knew what he was saying. And he said, I'm reading from an NESB. He said this. He says, do not pervert justice. Do not show partiality to the poor, favoritism to the great. Judge your neighbor fairly. You got that, Coach? Do not go about spreading slander among your people. Don't do anything that endangers your neighbor's life. I am the Lord. Do not hate your fellow Israelite in your heart. Rebuke your neighbor frankly, so you will not share in their guilt. Do not seek revenge or bear a grudge against anyone among your people, but love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. This is what he was quoting. That's what he was saying. He was saying, let me tell you what, you know what we do in 2024? We put that second before the first. And we want to rebuke God, and we want to correct God. We want to do all these other things, but our neighbors can do whatever they want to, Coach, and we can't correct them. This is what we do. But the way it was, and then when you look at the Ten Commandments, right, the first part of it, this is really cool, Coach. I've never heard you say this, but watch. The first part, right, we know is to what? It's of the honoring of God. And then the second half of it is what? Honoring our neighbor. But notice the path. The first part of the Ten Commandments is what? That you will see of loving your neighbors, honor your father and mother. Why? Because before you ever got married, Coach, guess what? You had a mother and a father. Yeah. Then look at the second part. You shall not commit adultery. What is that? Now you've left your father and mother and cleave to your wife. So now you got a commitment to your wife or husband. And then the third part deals with what? The other people around you. What a pecking order, Coach.
What a pecking order. Oh, my goodness, my goodness, my goodness. Listen, I want y'all to understand. I'll get you in there, Beth. Hang on. Look, folks. I hope you don't take discussion as judgmental. We're allowed to have these discussions, aren't we? Are we allowed to? And if you believe what you believe, you shouldn't get mad. You believe. I don't. Maybe I will, but right now I don't. And if you think I'm not following the Lord because I'm not doing what you're doing, ooh, careful. Careful.
Oh, and Coach, I got a tree too.
What's that?
I got a tree.
You got a treat?
Well, I got treats. I got treats. You know, I got treats. I got lots of those.
Here's what I was worried about. I'm so upset. Dale sent me a bunch of cookies and they didn't get here yet.
No, Coach. Oh. Coach, listen. They are not cookies. And I'm going to tell you something. You're going to love what I sent you, but it's not cookies.
All right. Whatever it is, we're going to be happy with it. But I know that Don't get me offline. I mailed out a week ago, and letters still have not arrived where I sent them. A week ago. Now, hang on. I'm just curious. My wife said, "Well, honey, it's the busy season. It's Christmas season, and everybody's sending cards." I said, "Yeah. Don't they know that? Doesn't the postal system know that? They can't call in a few more workers? They can't extend the hours, work around. You mean to tell me I can put a I'm not kidding you. I can put a letter in that mailbox and it won't get to Newark in 7 days? The heck. Elizabeth, come on in. Anybody mad at me out there yet? Go ahead, Elizabeth.
Can we pull up Colossians 2, starting at verse 13?
Sure we can. You mean, will we?
Yes.
Colossians 2, beginning at 13. 2:13, beginning. Start 2 and just go to 13. There you go. All right, Beth.
I'm going to read 3 verses, 13, 14, and 16.
All right.
And you being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he is resurrected together with him, having forgiven you all sins. He blotted out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us and contrary to us. And he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And then skipping down to 16, here's the big one. Therefore, let no one judge you regarding food or drink or in respect of a holy day, aka holidays, or new moons, which is calendars, or Sabbaths. So if God is not going to look at these things because he's blotted it out, how can we say that, oh, if you celebrate any kind of holiday, that your salvation is null and void? Because I didn't read that in there, did you? No, I saw where he blotted out all sins, all ordinances that were against us.
So if we
say that, well, we can't do this or we can't do that in a legalistic way, and even more so saying, well, I don't do this, and you don't need to either, because I believe it's wrong, but you have no scriptural evidence for it. Are you saying that the blood of Jesus is not strong enough to wipe out the fact that I have a Christmas tree in my house?
So Beth, let me, isn't this great? You'd get thrown out of most churches if we brought this up.
Well, Coach, I'm sorry to jump in. Let Elizabeth go to verse 18.
Oh, yes. Yes, yes, yes. Well, I'm going to read 17 as well, because I feel like this ties in with 16.
Okay.
These are shadows of things to come, but the substance belongs to Christ. Do not let anyone cheat you of your reward by delighting in false humility and the worship of angels, dwelling on those things which he has not seen, vainly arrogant due to his unspiritual mind.
Boom.
I'm getting in trouble here. I feel I'm getting in trouble.
That's the lane you live in, Coach.
Are you listening to me? Are you listening right now? Huh? Michelle, hold your ears. Michelle and I, married couples, when they consummate the marriage agreement physically, I hope they do it out of love, not out of duty. Did that go over some of your heads? Do you love the Lord out of love or out of duty? Do you follow the rules out of love or out of duty? And it's the same thing I just said. Honey, why didn't you fold the clothes? I don't know. Doesn't mean I don't love you. I love you more than I can tell you. I don't know. I don't know. Janine, come on.
I have to really chuckle because ordinances were not part of the commandments. And holidays, God never changes. So whether, you know, and I have to laugh because people who want to do those, that's fine. But you should be using the word of God as your guide, not some pastor is what you're saying. You know, I don't listen to pastors, haven't listened to them for well over 30 years. But I'll tell you one thing. When you do love the Lord, you want to please him. And you want, when you do love your wife, you want to please her. So you would probably go fold those clothes if you thought it meant something to her.
Yeah.
You know, but I have to laugh.
She might have baked me a cake if I'd have done that, Jenny.
I have to laugh because people get so upset when they want to defend something that they want to do, which is fine. I really don't care. But you do want to care when you're serving the Lord. And we can make all the excuses we want, but God never changes. So it doesn't offend me one bit if someone wants to try to defend them what they want to do. But do it, please, by the word of God and not by our own understanding. Don't lean on your own understanding. And there are so many things at the very end of Revelation. It says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Number four was the Sabbath. But I love all of you guys.
Yeah, if he tells you to do it, baby. If he tells you to do it, that's right. That's right. I'm with you. Janine, I'm not against you. I'm not against you. John Loveland, come on in.
Hey, good morning, everybody. Thanks, Coach. Yeah. Spencer, can you bring up 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 15, I think it is, out of the NIV?
See, here's one thing. Hang on as you do this, John. Yeah. See, most of you, if you just go to the same church, you just hear the same thing over and over, don't you? You don't ever hear a different perspective. That's why this is
2:15.
Because you get different perspectives. 15, go ahead.
Yeah, it says, is this the NIV or the King James?
It is the NIV.
Okay. So it says, the person with the Spirit makes judgment about all things, but such a person is not subject to merely human judgment. I was looking at the 84 NIV. It says, a spiritual man judges all things, but he himself is not judged by another man.
That's right.
So what I see a lot of times is we all have our own convictions because we all have different weaknesses. So if God's convicting me in an area, he may not be convicting others in that same area because my weakness is different than theirs and vice versa. But I think what he said was preach the gospel. Go everywhere and preach the gospel. He didn't say to preach your convictions. So I think we need to be careful about how we go about that. So we're not judged by others. We judge all things, but we're not subject to the judgment of others.
Good point, John. Amen. Let me throw this out there. I didn't mean to interrupt you. Were you done? Yeah, I think you were. So I'm just using a for instance. Okay? For instance. For you to know to do good and not to do it, Bible says, maybe you can find this, Spencer, because I don't want him to think I'm lying. For he to know to do good and not to do it, it is sin. Okay, everybody, that's in the scriptures. I don't know where
James.
Yeah, James. Therefore, James. What's it say? Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. That's the New King. That's the New King James. Right? So I can keep all the laws, all the rules, all the Sabbaths, all the feasts, all of it. And let him murder my neighbor's child in abortion. And I know it's wrong. Seems to me I'm in some trouble here. Or how about this one? Oh, my goodness. What if I paid my tax dollars to teach transgenderism to my neighbor's kid? Said, but Lord, I kept all the Sabbaths and all the holy days and the feasts, I kept all those, Lord. He said, yeah, but you didn't even look out the damn window and see what was going on with your neighbors. Are you your brother's keeper? Was it all about you? Look, this gets so touchy because we always take things personally. Take it personally. I think, is my opinion, I think the Lord would be honored if I spent all day Saturday at the abortion clinic. And Sunday in church. I think he would be honored by that. just my take. Sorry. Dave Allison, come on in.
Yeah, good morning, everyone. Again, I agree with Dale. You know, when you talked about yesterday about they gave the example about the guy who was a bricklayer, right? The young guy, and then he put up with the guy 40 years. The issue that I think we're all running into here is we were in church for 40 years, but we were taught the precepts of men. Yeah. And that's really what I had to overcome. And so that's why I appreciate even I'm not picking on you, Janine, but I'm really thankful you're in here because you bring another opinion, another view.
Amen, baby. Amen.
Thankful that you're here. And you know what? That's all we're doing is iron sharpening iron. And I really appreciate it. Like Dale said, it has changed my so many things that I was taught the precept of men over the last 5, 6, 7 years. So many of those things I had to tear down and rebuild, right? And and it's a blessing. But once you mentioned that Christmas tree thing, Spencer, that crossed the line. I want you to know I'll be contacting you. And we're going to start the new reform, Pass the Salt Ministry. Come money, everybody.
Amen, 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 amen. See, look.
Anyway, hey,
good morning. Good morning, Coach. Hey, praise the Lord. This has been awesome. You don't, you have no, well, you have an idea, but you really don't have any idea how much this platform has changed my life personally.
Praise the Lord.
And because of it, I have something to say. We wish you a Merry Christmas.
We wish you a Merry Christmas.
So, thank you guys. Look, I got to tell this story. I got to, you know me. I'll get right to you, Jeff. When I was lost, I was lost a long time. I was a churchgoer. I was lost. And there was one, I got to be careful. One of our coworkers, when I was teaching school, one of my coworkers, can I say this? Was one of those hair bun Christian women. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Anybody know what a hair bun Christian woman is? Come on, anybody know? You do, don't you? Oh, yeah. Had her hair all tacked on.
Heaven, holiness, holy woman.
Holy woman. She was a holy
with woman. With the long dresses,
Well, that's too. But the hair bun for sure, right? The hair bun for sure. I want to tell you something. I was lost, and she was the most what's the word I'm looking for? There was nothing about her Christianity I wanted a part of. I was lost. I didn't think I was. I didn't think I was. But boy, she had the outward appearance of holy. Tell you something? 8 years at that school, she never shared the gospel with me, not once. Jeff Nell.
Yeah, Coach, this is dealing with people in the faith, but also dealing with people outside the faith. Could you bring up Colossians chapter 4, verses 2 through 6?
Colossians 4, 2 through 6.
This is a gracious.
Okay, go ahead. It's up there.
Message. Okay, continuing in prayer and watching the same with thanksgiving. Withal praying also for us that God would open us the door of utterance to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds, that it would make it manifest as ought to speak. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace and seasoned with salt, and ye may ought know how ye ought to answer every man. The outsider. See, we talk about people in the church, but what about the people outside the church?
Mm-hmm.
And it
so that's exactly the point that I was making about that lady. She gave off an air of holiness. I wasn't part of the club. And she knew I wasn't part of the club. And she may have been following all the rules. She didn't love me. She didn't love me, her neighbor. She didn't love me. She didn't say anything to me about it, right? How many times have you been guilty of that? I've been guilty of that. We love our neighbor. We don't say anything about it. We're his ambassadors. We're his ministers, right? Felt like I cut you off there, Jeff. Didn't mean to. Good? We're all good? Wow. You know what's really amazing? It's we've been up here for 45 minutes, and none of this was what I was going to talk about when I went down the million-dollar escalator. None of it. This has been a powerful evidence of the anointing of God, because this came out of nowhere. Go ahead, James.
Yeah. Greetings, brothers and sisters. I think really the big tragedy, if I came in as a person who never came in before and I listened to Coach Dave, I would say, Jesus, this guy hates the church.
So, but, I love it. You know, I love really the church.
The tragedy really is the church was designed to be an equipping church, for us to go in and learn. And this is kind of why I think we gather here, is we become equipped to go. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's just the nature of Satan to infiltrate and to take over and to make it a one-man show. This started with Constantine and forward. The first church was a going church, and Constantine said that we can't beat them by persecuting them. We can beat them by infiltrating them. This is the kind of Satan's trickery in regards to the church, but I think it's coming back around. If COVID was good, it was good for one thing. It was good to show how unneeded the building of the church is.
Boy, isn't that the truth? That was a blessing in disguise, wasn't it?
Yeah. It was. And, you know, and really, realistically, you know, what I know you had read, Paul said, whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So that kind of transforms into everything. If everything that we do is not driven through a lens of faith, it's sin. So it's really easy to sin. I sin every day because I don't do everything by faith every day.
It's our nature, right?
Thank God that I have peace through his cross for what he did, because you know it would be easy to not live by faith all the time. So thank God for brothers and sisters. Jeff, I know you do a lot of stuff. I know Dale does a lot of stuff. Yeah. I know everybody in here participates, because we're a hand, we're a foot, we're a leg, and we all partake in equipping each other to take forth this word. Amen.
Amen, brother. Yeah, amen on that one. Amen on that one. I'm the farthest from the expert. I'm the farthest. Hang on, Eileen. I'll get right to you. Pull up 2 Timothy 2. Pull up 2 Timothy 2. And I want you to go down. By the way, you ought to take some time and read 2 Timothy 2. And just chew on it. How about number 3? This is what I'm talking about. Thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. It ain't supposed to be easy. Okay, go down. Let's start of 15. It's all good. I look over here. It's all good. Study to show yourself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. But shun profane and vain babblings. What would that be? Folks, listen to me. He's speaking to Christians. He's speaking to believers. Shun profane and vain babblings, because they're going to get worse in the church he's talking to. And their word will eat as doth a canker, of whom is Hymenaeus and Philetus, who concerning the truth have erred. Who has? Well, Hymenaeus and Philetus, they erred, saying that the resurrection is past already. And that really hurts the faith of some people. Keep going. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal. Lord knows them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity, because in the great house are vessels of gold and silver and wood and earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. And if a man therefore purges himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master. Evidently, not everybody in the church has got this whole thing figured out. Keep going. If a man purges himself from it, flee useful lusts. Follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace. How about we do those? How about we follow those? The foolish and unlearned questions avoid. Why? Because it just causes divisions. You say, well, coach, those aren't foolish and unlearned. Dude, it's unlearned to the purpose, to the person you're talking to. What do you mean that not unlearned? And by the way, it's foolishness to them that perished. But in meekness means control. Instruct those that oppose themselves. This is pretty, huh? This is shooting the old arrow right at the heart, isn't it? You oppose yourself? If God peradventure will give them repentance to the acknowledging of the truth, and that they may recover themselves out of the snare of the devil, who are taken captive by him at his will. And this all go back, if we go back and start where this whole thing began, it was over divisions. Divisions. Eileen.
That's a boom.
That's a boom.
Good morning, Coach. Good morning, everyone. Merry Christmas. This morning, the Holy Spirit put it on my heart to rewatch yesterday's show, Repairing the Breach, and talking about division, obviously, is a big part of it. But I just wanted to thank you so much. It was, you always say, the key to learning is repetition, repetition, repetition.
Yes, ma'am. Amen.
Thank you.
It's Holy Spirit, man. Look, if you guys just knew me, I mean, I'm just a spiritual mutt, man. I'm just a spiritual mutt. I really am. I can read. I can think. And I don't know if you've noticed this or not. I can make both sides of an argument. I can teach. I got a master's in education hanging on the wall. I'm an ordained minister. Ain't none of that worth a hoot in hell if you can't relate it to people that you're dealing with. And we got to be careful, because we Christians have become so stuffy, and so self-centered, and so self-righteous. We're missing what right in front of us. Right in front of us. I had a whole family. I showed you the picture yesterday. I had a whole family in front of me of many, many lost people. Many lost people. And they were on the edge of their seat, man, waiting for me to say all those things to them that I never say it to them that they accuse me of. And I just sat there. And I told you, I saw the most amazing thing with Coach Norm, who is part of our family, came, and he was praying with one of my nieces. I thought, holy smoke. See, the devil, don't take this wrong. Don't care if you do. The devil's made it about rules and regulations. But he's also made it about this. You don't have to follow any rules and regulations. Truth's always somewhere in the middle, isn't it? And I would say this. That what we really feel about the Lord is most reflected in the way we treat people.
Boom.
I'm telling you, a teacher with her bun and her long dress and that's righteous all over her, never shared the truth with me in 6 years as her co-worker. She probably followed all the rules. I think she probably did. She had her hair such a way because she probably wasn't allowed to cut it because the law said she couldn't. And she covered her knees and everything because she wanted to dress model. So she followed all the rules. But she missed the most important thing of all. Me lost standing right in front of her. You got to be careful, friends. Let's finish up with this. Dennis Quaid. Huh? This just makes me feel good. To make all of us feel good. It ain't Christmas song.
Roses, but still I'm gonna be alright. Long as I got my Savior by my side. He freed me from the heavy chains that had bound my broken heart. Picked me up, gave me a brand new start.
Amen.
Now I'm on my way to heaven. On my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. So I can't be staying long. I was serving time in prison. In a solitary cell, sentenced by a judge and jury of myself. Then he blessed me, forgave me, touched me with his love, shined down all his glory from above. With me every day, holds my hand and points the way.
Figured out why you like junk.
What?
Why you like to fix things, why you make something out of nothing all the time. Dude, they got a word for that. What's that word?
It's redemption.
Redemption. Yeah.
My dad was a monster. And I saw God transform him from a man that I hated into the man I wanted to become.
And he will walk with you every day. The shepherd's lamp will guide you every step along the way. Now I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven. On my way to heaven. So I can't be staying. I'm on my way to heaven. I'm on my way to heaven.
you like to come along? Come along. Come along, friend.
That's enough, folks. That's what it's all about. Have a great Christmas. We'll see you on the next day.